B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you not feel like that can put you at a competitive disadvantage if your quarterback is on that
side? Every team's got the same situation.
Phil, do you expect Cam to be back for joint practices on Thursday?
Yes, and that's the time frame, yeah.
Can he learn as much virtually as being on the field, or does that put him at a disadvantage not to be out here on the field for a couple of days?
Yeah, of course. If we couldn't gain anything by practicing, then why do we practice? Yeah, I don't have anything to add to the statement. Like, it is what it is. Okay? We've given it the information, and that's all I have. I don't have anything to add to that.
Well, what were you expecting?
What was that, the injury
report? When you win Super Bowls, it's like cute. People rally around it. It's like you've got character. When you lose or suck or mismanage your roster, you just look like an a-hole. So let's...
Don't forget, can't really draft all that well anymore either.
By the way, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, did you notice how... chipper Bill was in the Zoom press conference yesterday?
We were talking about this off the air yesterday. Go ahead. Yes.
I think it was purely because he was just like, these friggin'
morons.
These friggin' jerks. They have no idea that I'm about to drop Cam Newton news as soon as we're done. Ha ha.
No. He said, you know, Curran said, we're chatting. Curran said, yeah, he was really friendly with Curran and something. And Curran says, yeah, I'm making progress. Maybe he likes me again. No. He just knew he was about to bone us, so he was screwing around with us. He was asking, like, didn't he ask him when it reported, like, can I get a question from your dog or something? Like, wasn't
yes.
he doing cutesy
Nike
crap
can
like
answer.
That? Yeah.
Because
yeah. Mm-hmm. he knew.
He was all giddy. Yeah. He was so giddy. We haven't seen him that way in a long time.
I'm about
it was
to
all
hose
because
these
he
guys.
Knew he was about to bone us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I told you the end of that question where Curran says to him, thank you. And Bill goes, you're welcome.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Hey, guys.
He did. He had this inflection in his voice like, you're welcome.
Seriously.
Yeah, no problem. Time anytime, buddy.
Only here, you jackasses. I'm about to tush you guys.
Yep. Grab your ankles.
Okay. Here's what, again, this portion of Greg's column in Boston Sports Journal this morning. Here's what I think Belichick thinks. It's like, you think, Greg? You put in italics. Anyway, informed, sort of analysis is what
yeah,
we
it's
like.
His opinion, Felka.
Here's what he thinks yeah. Belichick thinks. Belichick feels that Jones is not physically ready to survive 17-plus NFL games without a full offseason to get his body more NFL ready. And Newton's status does not affect that. Belichick figures he will need both of them this season, and nothing has changed. So that piece about Jones not physically ready to survive 17-plus NFL games, that's a real consideration, right, Greg?
I think it is. I think we've heard Mike Lombardi talk about it. We've heard other Belichick people talk about it. I think it's a real concern that, you know, he walked in and Bill looks at him just like, this kid's not going to last a season, not with 17 games plus playoffs. And look, I don't know this. I'm just telling you what I think. And by the way, Mac Jones was out there today in another knee brace.
Oh,
like he's used like four different knee braces in the last four appearances.
You mean same leg or both legs now?
Same leg,
okay.
But a different type of brace. Like he's, you know, and is him getting up slow the other day.
Ooh.
Like in that game, like I saw that and I was just like, and even because on Game Pass, you get the Eagles broadcast and Russ Tucker does the color. And first of all, he does a fabulous job. He even talks about the Patriots, like mic protection and stuff like that because he was a former player here. But he remarked as soon as Jones did that, he was like, I don't like that. And look, I don't know what's going on with his knee, but it's not good. And if he's like that and they haven't even played like a real game yet, then... Look, I'm taking it slow with this kid because I think he is aces. I love what Mac Jones does. I think that he's able to do what he does right now just in terms of operating the offense, how he sees things, the anticipation throws, his ball placement, how he understands the entire Patriots passing system, which Cam just, in my opinion, will never be able to properly execute. He gives the Patriots the best chance, but he's got to be there in November and December, and I don't know if he's going to be able to last if you play him every game in September, October, at least this year, because he comes from these guys, and we see it all the time. They go from their college season straight into combine prep, then into pro days. They don't have enough time to really get in the gym, get into an NFL strength training program. They need their first offseason to do that, and I just don't have full faith that Mac can last a full season. Even behind this offensive line and the running game and how smart he is, those are all things to his benefit, and maybe that allows him to do it. But right now, I don't know if I'm willing to gamble the Patriots season on that, and I think Mac Jones being healthy in November and December is the Patriots season.
I'll tell you what, when you first brought this up, the offseason, I thought, that's a little overrated. He'll be all right. Then I've watched these games. I told you, I feel like when people fall on him, like he's going to break. And that thing the other night where he started to get up, he looked like, and I say this with all due affection, he looked like a 90-year-old man trying to get out of a chair.
Yeah, it looked bad.
He was so slow getting up. I went, ooh, he's good. That something.
He purposely used his right knee. He didn't use his left knee. If you watch it, he put all his weight on his right knee to get up, and he avoided using his left knee. And I'm just like, that is not a good sign.
Yeah, he was. You know, he needs some time. But maybe that's the silver lining in this thing, that Newton takes some bullets early, and they bring the kid in the middle of the year, and all he has to do is play half a season. Like,
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Okay, back to your phones as promised. Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Greg kind of answered my question already with what he just said, but I was just curious, you know, for people that are in the same camp as me that never wanted Cam Newton here ever, never mind coming back the second year. And now with his unavailability the next few days and not being able to take part in the Giants game on Sunday, are you saying, Greg, that there's no performance that Mac Jones can do that would possibly have him pass over Cam to be the start of week one? Is it just out of the realm of possibility?
Well, I mean, yeah, let's just stop there. Is there anything Mac can do to actually be the week one guy, or is Bill's mind made up?
Tommy, it's a good question. And, while I don't know the definitive answer, I do think, and I put this in my column that I, just before I got on here, I published at bostonsportsjournal.com. I think tomorrow is a humongous day for Mac Jones. If you want Mac Jones to be the opening day starter, at least very early in the season for this team, you need him to go out there tomorrow and completely light the world on fire, which I think he has the potential to do. I think part of what they did, all the situational stuff that they did today, I think was, and look, they probably would have done this in any event, but I think it works out that it helped give Mac a bunch of different looks at different things. Basically, what they're doing, what they've done for the past past two weeks, and ever since I told you guys, like, you know, when you guys were talking about him being lapped and possibly even being a bust, and my point was they haven't really done anything yet. The past 2 weeks they have, and they, to me, it looks like they are cramming him. Today looked like a cram session, and you need him to take that and apply it on the field tomorrow. But here's the other thing about this week of practices. And it also gives Cam an opening. Most weeks when you do joint practices, it's a couple days before a game at that site. So last week against the Eagles, Monday was a heavy day. It was a full practice, really long. The second day was still in pads, but it was much lighter. It was just situational stuff. Because this Giants game isn't until Sunday night, I believe that the Patriots and Giants are going to go all out Wednesday and Thursday. That Thursday's not going to be a light day. I could be wrong, but I think they're going to be heavy both days. And so that gives Cam an opening, but it'll be interesting to see on Thursday who comes out with the first team,
right?
Who gets the first reps. If it's Cam, not much has changed. If it's Mac and he built off of Wednesday, then I think we're talking about a significant shift.
All right, next 2 days should learn a lot. Meanwhile, coming up next, 10 questions with the big fella. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Belger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with the big fella, Greg Bedard. Do this every single week. We're still going to keep it more sort of Patriots in general focus than league focus because Greg's been so heavy in Patriots training camp. Don't want to spring anything on him league-wise when we haven't really had a chance to look at it. So that'll be the parameters today. It's still 10 questions in 10 minutes. We need to stay on time with buzzer options. What are they, Jimmy?
The Red Sox suck because Heim Bloom didn't do anything.
Okay, that's our guy, Tyler Milliken.
Anthony Rizzo with that 40 weighted runs created plus after those first two games.
Okay, I don't know if you all knew that out there, but Anthony Rizzo, since he arrived in New York, has a 40 weighted runs combined plus. I screwed that up already.
Weighted runs created plus.
There you go. That's his number there, in case you didn't know. Next.
There's that old story. You just can't put anybody at first base.
Suck on that, Milliken.
Sure.
Next.
Can't.
Season opening starter. Is bullcrap, Felger.
That was Bedard last week.
Well, Bedard says they could take the first week. Like, let's be mature.
Or let's not. Next.
Can we have a mature discussion about this?
No.
Matter, Jones, of course they matter.
Just stop. Just stop.
Keep going.
That's the best one.
I don't need whatever Johnson & Johnson is. Alex has got me. Alex is going to rub it right out. He has nothing better than having Alex rub one out. Go ahead. Next. I don't need whatever Johnson & Johnson is. Alex has got me. Alex is going to rub it right out. Okay, number 10. Do you believe the way Bill Belichick handles the media gives the Patriots a competitive advantage, Greg?
Year over year, yes. In individual situations or for 1 year, no. I mean, look at last year. The Bucks, all of them, especially the head coach, they just run off at the mouth. They say whatever, whenever, including the quarterback now. And they won. So, yeah, I mean, look. For long-term 20-plus year success and being a dynasty, yeah, it probably helps a little bit. In the short term, no.
No, it doesn't help. No, the 20 years was about Brady. We've validated that. And can I answer the second part of it, too?
Please do. Oh, so the second part is why does he do it, then?
Okay, why does he do it? Because he gets off on it. That's why. Because he gets off on it. It's his own little personal porn site.
It's him asserting his dominance on those he believes that are beneath him. That's all.
And it comes back to, again, to put him on the couch. It goes back to his insecurities. He's, you know, people think he's a badass and impervious and sort of above it. Nope, just the opposite. All the stuff really kind of affects him, so he just wants to avoid it. Doesn't want the criticism, doesn't want the back and forth, doesn't want to be challenged, doesn't want it. That's the psychology of it. Next.
Can we have a mature discussion about this?
Okay, speaking of Brady, I got three Brady questions for you. Here's one. He had an Instagram post over the weekend. And, Jim, if I'm describing this improperly, please correct me. But he posted a picture of a handwritten note that said the following. When a toxic person can no longer control you, they will try to control how others see you. The misinformation will feel unfair, but stay above it, trusting that other people will eventually see the truth just like you did. And then above it, he has the words appreciation, perspective, gratitude, and then a heart emoji. What is Brady talking about here, Greg?
100% he has read an early copy of the Seth Wickersham book, and this is something that the Belichick camp has put in the book that Tom disagrees with. Belichick is the toxic person.
Oh, absolutely. It's about Bill. Absolutely.
Do we know what it is in the Wickersham book that has set him off?
No, Mike, they've all been embargoed. All these people that have the book, they can't talk about it. But I could kiss Greg right now because when I read it, I'm convinced, not the book, but this Instagram post, this is a preemptive strike before this Wickersham book's come out because something is in there that makes Brady look bad.
Absolutely. I mean, I mean, I keep saying that I think Brady and the Brady camp has turned up the volume and the temperature this offseason, and something happened. Something happened somewhere behind the scenes. We don't even know. It might have to do with these Fakakta birthday parties, you know, that Brady didn't go to Kraft's birthday party. I subsequently heard from the brownness of brown check marks, but so I'm not reporting this, but something like this makes sense. We're not even that Brady wouldn't go, but then they asked him for a video to show at the party.
Well, I heard this too.
And Brady wouldn't do it. Whoa. Brady wouldn't do the video.
Yeah,
and so,
wouldn't do the video.
Yeah, so, but you know, maybe that's not right. Maybe it's 50% right. Something like this. I feel like there's like little behind the scenes cattiness going on.
He sent a hog photo.
But he sent a picture of his balls. Yeah. But then the book. The book's a whole nother thing. Because, you know, Bill's already spilled some beans to Wickersham in those Sports Illustrated articles. Now here comes the book. And when Brady writes about a toxic person and misinformation, oh, here we go.
What's the release date again?
The week after the Tampa Bay Bucks game.
That's right.
So stupid.
And my conspiracy.
Somebody that you know is supposed to have a golden ticket, and it's supposed to arrive any time now. So.
Well, we know people who have it, but like Bert has it. Has he not even shared any details with us, even behind the scenes? Has anyone tried to mine Bert on this?
I haven't asked Bert.
Yeah, I think that it came along with like, Jimmy, you know, you tried to get it and they spit in your face, right?
Yeah, they spit in my face.
Oh, I'll mine Bert.
Nobody has done more for Seth Wickersham and promoted his reporting more than this radio station and this show, this time slot. We deserve a book.
I have it in the same packet that I have the Wells report, still highlighted and everything. I mean, look, how come we're playing the Love Boat again? There you go.
Let's be honest. Because I pounded the table and hit the button by accident.
Let's be honest. How hard really can it be to get Bert to talk?
That's true.
Anyway,
Hey, if you're out there and you have the book, I will give you $100 cash for it.
Okay. And we'll finance and we'll expense it, of course.
I'll give you two.
But listen.
That's three total.
I think the reason the release date's after the game is that there was some sort of quid pro quo there. Quid quo.
Quid pro quo.
Thank you. That thing.
That's a drop.
There was some sort of trade. There was some sort of trade between Wickersham and a source that said, just do me a favor, do it after the game so we don't have to deal with this before the game. And this is all coming down. Quid pro quo.
Quid quo po.
Next.
Well, Bernard says they could take the first week. Like, let's be mature.
Number 8, fill in the blank. If I were a Giants fan, I would feel blank about Joe Judge.
That he's not ready. That, you know, maybe he could be a good coach in time, but what? A couple of years at Alabama, a couple of years as special teams coordinator here, he's not ready.
If I were a Giants fan, I would feel suicidal about Joe Judge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strong. That's how I would feel.
I'd be over Joe Judge and his fake blue collar tough guy act.
Next.
Season opening starter is bullcrap, Felger.
Okay, I've never heard that one, but that is a hot take. Name your favorite bad quarterback of all time, Greg. We've all had them. I have more than most. I've got a ton of them for some reason, but just name your favorite bad quarterback of all time, someone you knew wasn't very good, but you still rooted for whatever reason.
Ray Lucas.
Oh.
Former Jets. Did he play here at any point in time? But one of my Rutgers guys, I mean, between him and Mike McMahon, former Rutgers quarterbacks, I was just unusually excited when they would get into games and thought were convinced that they were going to be good NFL starting quarterbacks, and they were not.
I mean, there were a ton of backups I liked. I don't know how many of them really sucked, though. So the one I settled on was Dan Orlovsky. That one play where he runs along the back line of the end zone, everybody else in the game stops.
But you wanted him to win like Garoppolo's yours.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, not that he's a bad quarterback.
Well, so that's what I mean. Like, I know. But that Orlovsky play, because Orlovsky sucked. That play was so bad, I loved it.
I will go with Quincy Carter, the Dallas years. Pretty sneaky good in 02 and 03, and I'll go to my grave believing that if he played in today's NFL, he'd actually be kind of a stud.
I like bad quarterbacks. It's so much more interesting when they win. So, like, I rooted for Jim Zorn. I was a big Tim Tebow guy. I liked Mark Sanchez. Brian Hoyer until last year.
Yeah, it's like Murray with bad football.
There's something about him. I like rooting for the bad quarterback.
You remember
next.
Eric Hipple?
Oh, yeah, he was my guy, too. Next. I don't need whatever Johnson & Johnson is. Alex has got me. Alex is going to rub it right out. Okay, here's your second Brady quote. This was to Peter King. In a story on NBCSports.com, there's two of them that I wanted to get to. And here's the first. Sorry, I feel like Greg fumbling through my papers. Brady to King, quote, "Football's the ultimate blame game," Brady said. general managers, head coaches, players, quarterbacks, receivers, defense, offense, it's so easy to blame someone else. It's so hard to say, I didn't get the job done, and we collectively didn't get the job done. That's the best part about team sports. I picked a team here in Tampa, I put in parentheses, where everybody's like, hey, we got to get better. It's not, I got all the answers. You guys just all screwed up except me. Exact opposite way to play the game, said Brady. You know, you got to play it together. Who do you think he's talking about there?
I don't think this one is about Belichick, because I do think Belichick falls on his sword a lot. Well, for some things, like Malcolm Butler, maybe not. But for a lot of things, he takes the blame in front of the team and in front of the media. I think this one was Lloyd Carr at Michigan for the Brady still have a humongous sore spot about him. And I think this one's about him.
Bill. It was Bill. Absolutely Bill.
Yeah, same. It's Bill.
And let me tell you why. I think Brady gave it away because he continued in this comment. He said, if you're doing what you love doing and you're doing it with people you love doing it with, it's all good. And then he says immediately, I love the guys I'm working with. And then he says, this has nothing to do with New England. I love New England. I love the players. I love the coaches. It was magical. And I think he gave himself away there. He knew it sounded like he was talking about Belichick. He knew it sounded like he was talking about the Patriots. So he immediately covered up with this bullcrap about, I'm not talking about New England. I love New England. It was magical. You gave yourself away, Tommy.
Dang.
Anthony Rizzo with that 40 weighted runs created plus after those first two games.
Weighted runs created plus. You've got to be kidding me with that. Where are we?
Five tool bag questions.
Tool bag question. Oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. I'm going to play you two pieces of sound, Greg. And you tell me who the bigger tool bag is, okay? Or what's the bigger tool bag comment if you don't want to talk about the person specifically because you cover them both? Here's Mike Lombardi last week on that Trey Lance touchdown pass. Have you heard this, Maz?
I have not.
Oh. Listen, Mike Lombardi last week on his podcast about Trey Lance's 80-yard touchdown pass. You saw that last week, right? That freaking frozen rope from 49 yards in the air. Here's what Lombardi said.
I think it's really important as fans. We have to understand what makes the play. Was it the talent of the quarterback or was it the scheme? And that leads us to Trey Lance. Trey Lance's first, the 80-yard touchdown pass, was nothing to do with Trey Lance. It was a thing of beauty by Kyle Shanahan.
Did you hear that, Maz? That 80-yard frozen rope, 12 yards, rolling left, stopping on a dime, throwing it 49 yards on a line, in the air, in stride, had nothing to do with Trey Lance. It was a thing of beauty by Kyle Shanahan. Was that a bigger tool bag comment, or was Matt Patricia talking about his fourth quarter play calling of the bigger tool bag comment?
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter for you to close out games?
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that.
What's the bigger tool bag comment?
Oh, it's Patricia, hands down.
Landslide, yeah. Patricia. Absolutely, Patricia. The biggest tool bag comment in league history.
Lombardi's just echoing what he hears from coaches behind closed doors. This slub said it out loud.
Well, yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that.
I mean,
what a dink.
Unreal.
What a dink.
Listen to that.
Oh, it is. That to me is like, that will never die. That one is, that's immortal. That comment has found the fountain of youth. That will last forever.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that.
Oh, you freaking tool.
He has power.
Oh, you freaking loser. Seriously. Let's pick up the other half of these 10 questions after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Baby, baby.
break up the 10 questions here with the big boy, Greg Bedard. Buzzer, number four, Jimmy. Ding.
Anthony Rizzo with that 40 weighted runs created plus after those first two games.
Number four, who should be Josh McDaniels' heir apparent at offensive coordinator if he ever moves on from the job?
Bill O'Brien. He's the OC at Alabama. It's a placeholder position. He probably wants to be a head coach again. I think he could get that opportunity, but I think O'Brien would be the perfect guy.
That's a good answer.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I had trouble with this one. So if you look at the offensive coordinators around the league other than McDaniels, it gets a little thin pretty fast. I went with Daboll. He's a known commodity. He's done a good job in Buffalo, so he was my pick, Daboll.
They tend to hire within. I said Troy Brown. Why the hell not? Guy's been around the game forever. I have to think he knows that offense inside and out. Now he looks cool, too, because he's all jacked, so give him the job.
Can I tell you one other name that popped into my head?
Yeah.
Zoe.
No. Go ahead, Greg.
No. By the way, considering how Brian Daboll has turned around Josh Allen and now Mitch Trubisky, who ripped through the Bears last week, is he the greatest greatest football coach of all time or the greatest football coach of all time?
The name that popped into my head was Brian Belichick. You know, so just next. Matter, Jones. Of course they matter.
Just stop.
Stop,
just
Jones. Stop. Number. Speaking of the Bills are currently looking for a new stadium and perhaps a new home. Should the NFL move the Bills out of Buffalo if they don't get a new stadium? And let me just give you a little bit of background here as part of my question. Do you know that Buffalo is the 53rd ranked media market in the U.S.? 53rd. Only Green Bay is lower, you know, as you would expect. But do you know that Buffalo, in terms of media market size, is behind Hartford? It's behind Albuquerque? It's behind Providence? It's behind Kalamazoo, Michigan? And they have a football team. If they don't get a new stadium, should the NFL move them?
Absolutely. You know, screw Bills Mafia. Rip them out of there. Move them to Albuquerque. Josh Allen, too. Let's get it over with.
I say no. There's something about Buffalo that, to me, says football. I think it's just a football town. I think it's a great football town.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that when you go there, and I've only been there a couple of times, but you feel like you've stepped out of a time machine and it's 1975.
I say no because that miserable franchise deserves that miserable home and that factory of sadness. They should rot there forever with those people.
It's a smaller town than Providence. Whoever thought that? Is Providence close to getting a town or getting a team?
They're talking about moving them to Austin, so that would be three teams in Texas. That's stupid.
No, that's good. Oh, that's good. I was going to have a follow-up question and say, is there any NFL market that deserves a second team? That would be cool to have a second team. And my answer was Dallas. Now, Austin isn't Dallas. It's a different media market. But would it be cool if Dallas added a second team?
No.
Yes?
No.
Have the new team killed.
What is next?
Well, Bedard says they could take the first week. Like, let's be mature.
Nope, let's not. Here's our third Brady question. Third quote where he gave to Peter King. This is really for Maz as much as anything. Mm-hmm. Here's Brady's another quote to Peter King. Quote, life, Brady said, is about always changing and adapting to different things. Today, the world wants to blame and shame and guilt and fear everything all the time. We would never teach our kids that, you know? We would never say this is how you're going to get through life the best. You're going to blame everyone when things don't go right. Or, I always get my way, but you should never get it your way. It's not how to live a joyful life. End quote. When you hear that, Maz, I'll start with you. What do you think?
I want to vomit. That's what. It's when Brady starts giving me this life coach stuff that he completely loses me, and I want to say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. First of all, the world's always been that way, you jackass. It's not that way now just because you happen to live in it. And easy thing to say, when you've been to 10 Super Bowls and won 7 of them, you're married to a supermodel, and you're buying boats that are the size of small buildings, for crying out loud. Go to hell. You don't have a clue what the average Joe deals with on a daily basis. And you're going to give life advice? F off.
When Brady starts any quote with life, comma.
Oh, God, I do. I want to reach through my computer and punch him in the face.
Do you have a thought, Greg, on that?
What an out-of-touch fortune cookie, for crying out loud. I thought, when I read it, I thought he was talking about Trump. But That's just a guess.
And well, it sickens me. Everything with how do you take care of yourself, and we wouldn't teach that to our kids. Shut up. How do you know what I'm teaching my kids?
And I thought it was another shot at Bill. I've learned to adapt. That bitter slug in Foxborough hasn't. Follow my lead if you want to be happy.
Everything is a shot at Bill.
I would just say, when you begin any comment with life, comma, you're sort of asking for trouble.
Oh, big time.
Next.
Season opening starter is bullcrap, Felger.
Ah, this ties into our last question. Season opener. The Patriots are currently 2-point favorites over the Dolphins. As of today, who do we like?
Patriots running away with it. With Tua, Tua's terrible. No way.
I like the Pats in a tight game. If you had said 4.5, I'd take Miami.
Does it matter who the quarterback is?
No, because honestly, I like how the Patriots' defense is going to look. And honestly, against Miami, whether they have Gilmore or not, I don't think it's going to matter. I think their defense is going to shut Miami down.
Yeah, I'm with Greg on this. The reason more than anything else is I think Tua kind of stinks, so it won't matter who the quarterback for the Patriots is that day.
All right, there's that. Final thoughts from Greg during his stint and your calls, I promise. Long commercial-free segments next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, Mac Jones has looked awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looked awesome. He played awesome in the game the other night.
He did, I know.
I mean, he just, every f***ing throw is bullseye. He makes decisions quick, gets the ball out of his hands. It's like you're watching a third or fourth year veteran. You're just like, damn, I mean, this kid's a rookie. You know, it's phenomenal that way. It really is. But, you know, I think ultimately just knowing New England and the way they coach, think, everything like that, I still expect it to be Cam Newton.
I would say that Greg Bedard, the Boston Sports Journal, concurs. Mac Jones looks great, but you think the Pats are going to defer to Cam Newton even after this COVID nonsense, Greg, right?
Absolutely. I just don't think it's... I think the timing of it allows them to stay on track for what they want to do. And I do think that... I don't think any hard decisions have been made. Like, I don't think Bill has gotten together with Josh and talked about it. I think that that's coming as soon as the Giants game is over. I think during a couple days off, I think that the coaches will meet and they'll figure on cuts and things like that. And then Bill will give Josh the direction that he wants to go in for the season opener. I do think it could possibly be Mac. It could. I just doubt it. I think that you combine Mac Jones's body and whether it can hold up for a whole season, and he's already got a left knee issue. And that I think the identity of this team will be with the running game, the offensive line, short passing, defense, that the passing game won't be really ready until the middle part of the season, I think lends itself to Cam Newton being the opening day starter.
Do you think this defense is primed to carry the team? And, you know, we just mentioned week one and Tua and all of that, but overall, beyond that, you think the defense is ready?
I think they're going to start off really strong against Miami. I think Miami is constantly rebuilding their offensive line, and there are constant issues there, and Tua doesn't know what to do, and he can be fooled. So I think they'll be very successful against the Dolphins in week one. Do I think they're going to dominate overall early in the season? Now, I haven't looked at all their opponents, but look, the defense has been fine for the most part so far. I haven't been excited about what I've seen, especially with their run defense. I see, you know, Godchow, who I had in my three downs, he gets shoved out of the point of attack a lot, and that's why he's here. That was the issue last year. Now, have we seen it all together with Lawrence Guy and Godchow and Byron Coward's still out, so I don't know when he's ever going to come back, and whoever's going to, probably Carl Davis might be the third guy in a three-man line. Have we seen all that together yet? No, but I haven't loved what I've seen out of the run defense so far, and I think that there are issues at cornerback without Stephon Gilmore, and so I think they're going to have some issues on defense, and they just can't rely on the defense to completely carry them.
Give me a Gilmore update.
I think that it's an injury issue, and just like we talked about last week, I don't think that Bill is going to move, and I think his quote the other day indicated that he's not going to move until Stephon Gilmore gets on the field and proves he's healthy and another one, okay, number one cornerback.
Do you really think he's still hurt?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
I know what you believe, Mike, but you asked me what I believe.
Yeah.
I just told you.
Yeah. Okay. So you think he's really not, you mean, again, there's indicate, he told Giardi in the off season, I'm running at just about 100%. He told Jacina Anderson when she asked him, will you be 100% for training camp? And his answer was, if I need to be.
So he said, I don't know if I need to be.
If I need to be. Well, what do you think that's saying?
Time changes can change all the time, Mike. I think that, look, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether it's an injury issue or a contract issue, Mike, because, look, if he thinks he's going to get a multi-year contract out of the Patriots, it's not going to be standing on the sideline and not being cleared and not being on the practice field. So go ahead. Go nuts. Sit out. Like I told you last week, what's going to happen is Bill's going to say, screw you. We'll put you on PUP. We'll see you at the middle of the season.
And he gets paid.
All right, so what?
And he gets paid, and then, I mean, you know why that thing works,
who
right?
Cares?
So it's
$7 million,
right? So it's 6 weeks, and then there's that 3 week practice period when you come off of it.
Yep.
So he can wait until week 10, and now he's making $7 million.
And?
He's making $7 million for half a year of work, and maybe that's his path. He says, "I'm worth 14. They won't give it to me, so I'm only going to give him a half season." That doesn't concern you if you're the Patriots, that you may only get a half season of Steph Gilmore. And oh, by the way, what will he look like then? And boy, will he be a candidate for just, oh, well, I tweaked that. Well, you know, my quad's okay. I'm playing now, but, well, I tweaked my other one now, so I'm going to sit back down. Like, doesn't that, I mean, he can do that. He can play it that way, can he?
Stephon Gilmore can make a business decision. And if I'm the Patriots, I'm also making a business decision. I'm not being held hostage by a guy coming off a torn quad who didn't play up to Defensive Player of the Year standards last year, and I'm not paying him top five cornerback money. Not doing it. Not until he proves himself.
So, Greg, look, I'm not giving him a multi-year deal either, but at some point, aren't you more interested in winning the negotiation than you are putting your best team on the field? You follow me? In other words, are you looking to win the negotiation, or are you looking to have it a good year?
Tony, if you were managing a baseball team, okay, and you, all right, say Chris Sale's coming back. Chris Sale says, well, I want a new contract, okay? And are you going to give him a new contract without seeing him pitch?
Okay, so look, I understand your point, but this is...
Yeah, yes or no?
No, but the money in baseball is fully guaranteed. This is why it doesn't work in the NFL.
In football, fine. If you, any other position, outside of one where the Patriots are desperate, say anybody, are you give until they pass their physical and on the practice field, are you giving them any money?
I would give Gilmore a bump to get him on the field. I would.
Well, that's what you would do. I would not.
I wouldn't give him a multi-year deal. I said
that's
this
a
yesterday.
Bad precedent.
Okay, I would. They gave him money last year, and so
he was healthy coming off Defensive Player of the Year. The last time we saw him on a field, his whole right knee collapsed.
Yeah, I think that they can get an idea whether or not he's healthy and get him on the field. I think that they already know whether or not he's healthy, if he's done strength tests and everything.
If you want me to dance for you, then get out on the dance floor.
It just feels to me like there's those game day roster bonuses that they're famous for is sort of a perfect path for him, where the team. So if he wants to get a contract agreement before he goes back on the field, you tie it to per game roster bonuses. Therefore, if he's healthy, he gets his money. If he's not healthy, he's not on the game day roster, the Pats are protected. And like, I don't know why you just can't. Both sides couldn't come to that.
If I'm Bill Belichick
and
the Patriots, I'm telling Stephon, we are willing to talk a contract with you as soon as you take the practice field.
Yeah.
Period. End of discussion.
Okay.
And that's not That's not cutting off your nose to spite your face. I'm not being held hostage by one football player. Okay, well, not doing it.
But then you know what? Bill takes the blame for that because the guy who's famously ahead of everything is behind.
They should have traded him last year.
They're way behind. So now you're in a situation. The fact that they're in this situation is Bill's fault. So what I would say is buy your way out of it. Give the guys guaranteed money for this year. I'm not talking a long term deal.
He wants more than that. He's not taking $7 million guaranteed money. He wants 15. He wants double what he's supposed to get paid. Guaranteed. I'm not giving him that until he gets on the practice field.
I wouldn't give it to him given the injury and the age. He ain't getting the years. The bump, fine, but years, no.
Yeah, I'd give him the money for this year. I'd give him 14 to play.
I'd go get another cornerback because this ain't going to work out. It's not happening. He's not budging. He's not budging, and the Patriots aren't budging, and I get both of their point. I mean, I get the Patriots' case more than Gilmore's case, frankly. I'm with you on that. It's just you also want the player. You want to have a good year. So, you know, what do you do?
That's why just what I said last week. I am going out. I'm making a deal. Sony Michel, Chase Winovich, whatever. Whatever I have in my arsenal. I'm making a trade for a cornerback. Stephon Gilmore is going to have to report at some point in time to become a free agent next year. And now all of a sudden, I have four really good cornerbacks on my team.
Okay. Greg, thanks for the stint. As always, we'll catch you next Tuesday.
Hey, one more thing, by the way.
Please.
Could you not, like, concede my point with Chris Gasper, you know, when I leave? Like, Gasper made the same point that I did. He said, why does it have to be Mac Jones in week one? Why couldn't it be Mac Jones in week six or seven? And you said, you're preaching to the choir.
I'm going back in time, and I don't remember who said what and when they said
it. Here we go again.
I was doing the segment at the time, and I don't know. I've never said Mac Jones had to start from week one. Never. I just push back from your thing about week one being some sort of fake, arbitrary talk radio, fake drama kind of thing.
It is. The season-opening quarterback starter, in regards to the quarterback, it is arbitrary and it's fake, just like Chris Gasper pointed out, and you conceded.
No.
It doesn't really matter if it's Mac Jones in week one. If it's Mac Jones in week six, it doesn't matter.
Newton blows the game.
Season opening starter is bullcrap, Felger.
So that's what I push back from. Bill building towards the second half of the year and not wanting to start the year with Mac Jones. I've said that from Dave Maz, and I have said this for months that Mac Jones wasn't going to start the year. So that's not, I'm not conceding anything, but week one still matters. It's just not going to matter with Mac Jones. It's going to matter with Mr. COVID here at quarterback.
Yeah, it's really extended preseason, Felger.
Either way, Bedard, bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Okay, there's the big boy Tuesday. Plenty of blood in the water on that one. We've ignored your calls now here for a while. There are open lines if you want to jump back in.
Thank God.
The long and short of Greg's stint was this. It's still Cam Newton. The Cam Newton, this COVID thing is not going to cost him his job. And that's what Greg believes, that it's not going to cost Cam Newton his job. Even though they're frustrated, according to Mike Giardi, there's some in the organization who feel this has opened the door for Mac Jones. Greg, if he's handicapping, still says it is Cam Newton. But these next couple days of practice, super important. There is an opportunity here for Mac Jones, which Bill Belichick did concede today. So that's sort of the lead story. If you want to join us on that or anything Patriots related, 617-779-0985. To you right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.